Thank you for choosing to listen to the Hope Rock Church at Lake Travis podcast. For more resources and information on our church or our team, please go to www.hoperockchurch.com or find us on Facebook.
All right. Well, we're picking up Genesis because we're still doing it because Genesis is super important. Honestly, if you don't believe the first 11 chapters of Genesis, you'll probably miss the gospel. And because it's all over the place, the gospel shows up today in the garden, and it just blows my mind. My mind has been blown all week. Last week, I was having dinner with Crystal and Audrey, and going through some of the stuff. It's like, oh my gosh, can you believe this? And she just looked at me across the table. She's like, Dad, how does your mind come up with this stuff? You know, where does this come from? And I was just like, girl, I don't know, but, you know, I'm up in the morning, and I'm praying, and God's like saying, dude, this is amazing, and I'm going, wow, that's awesome. So here we go. So let's just read this. So I'm going to read Genesis 3, 7 to 13, and then we'll jump into this. Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths. Last week, Marco referred to that, perhaps the first bikini, I don't know, but Marco is down at the beach trying to catch fish. He's better at catching snakes. I've seen the pictures. Anyway. Or that big. Anyway. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, where are you? And he said, I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. He said, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree which I commanded you not to eat? The man said, the woman whom you gave to me, she gave me the fruit of the tree, and I ate. Then the Lord God said to the woman, what is this that you have done? And the woman said, the serpent deceived me, and I ate. Marco did a great job unpacking who the serpent is last couple of weeks, just talking about the origin of sin. And now we get to see what sin's going to do to us and how it does to us and how it is continually working even now. We saw last week that Satan, he brought all of his deception skills to bear on Eve. Because you got to just stop and think about for just a second that they had no sin. They had no predisposition to sin. And Satan had to bring everything he had. He had to bring his A game. And he did. And we know what happened. But Satan always attacks us at our head, then our heart, and then it affects our feet and where we go. No doubt, every time. It always will, right? Always will. And so he did. He attacked her belief. He said, did God really say that? Is that really true? Come on, really? And then he attacked her heart, said, you'll be like God. God knows. God's holding back on you. What? Ugh. And then her feet, off she went. Take that fruit. It's good. It looks good. Eat. Not so good. And then we saw Adam, who's with her. Whether physically or emotionally, we're not sure, right? But he was close. There's only the two of them on the planet. So, you know, I'm sure he wasn't, you know, like way far away. He was close. And he was not deceived. He just jumped right on in. So think about that for a second. You know, she said, hey, try this out. And he's like, cool. All right. And away they went, just like that. And I'm just like, wow, Adam, took that long. Good-looking woman, offers you some fruit, and you're done. Just like, I'm just like, geez, Louise. I'm so glad, Micah and Lindsay, that we sung two songs on the holiness of God today. Because I was just like, yes, we need this. Because look, I'm going to tell you, the rest of what we're about to talk about makes absolutely really not much sense apart from the holiness of God. The holiness of God sets everything up when it comes to sin. Without the holiness of God, sin is really pretty meaningless. Because it's, and let me just read this. Favorite scripture passage, you know it. You probably can predict the scripture I'm about to read. Can you predict it? You want to try it? On the holiness of God? These guys probably know. Isaiah 6. And one seraphim called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the foundations of the thresholds shook at the voice of him who called, and the house was filled with smoke." I don't know if that's ever happened when you talk, and but it did. And I said, "Woe is me, for I am lost, and I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King of the Lord of hosts." Guys, the magnitude of an offense is proportional to the magnitude of the glory and the intrinsic value of the offended party. For instance, if you jump over the backyard fence of the White House, it'd be a whole lot different response than if you go jump over the fence of my house. You know what I'm saying? You can jump over the fence of my house and our dog might bark. Maybe. But you jump over the fence of the White House, you'll hear all sorts of things right before you are face down on the ground. It's a whole different thing. The magnitude of the value, the glory of, you know. So when we stop and consider sin and what happened in the garden and who it was that was offended, it wasn't just, you know, "My good buddy upstairs, God, he's my co-pilot. Yeah, come on." You know, it wasn't that. This was holy, holy, holy. The one that the angels, when they spoke, it shook the threshold of the temple. And as they cried out to this holy, unlike any other God ever. So I think it's kind of important that we just stop in that. So if you know me, you know that I wonder a lot about things, and I think wonder is a wonderful thing. I mean, wonderful has a root wonder, right? So come on, you know, everybody wants wonderful stuff, and I think that the more you know Jesus and the more you know who God is and the more you get his holiness, the more your wonder is turned to holy wonder. And I just want you to just what I would love for you to do is just be people that you walk outside and go, "Oh, wow." I mean, come on. I mean, there's so much. I mean, it's dangerous to ride sometimes in the car with me because I see a bird flying. And I'm just like, "Wow, that's amazing." You know, it's just, it's not even flapping. And it's just doing up there. And I'm just like, "Wow." You know, and yeah, I could bring it in. But flip to the next slide, buddy. I think it's the next one. We're going to see. Yes. Okay. If you don't know, yesterday was Reformation Day. If you don't know what that is, I'll tell you what it is. It's basically the day that Martin Luther nailed his 95 theses on the doors of the church at Wittenberg in Germany and made a declaration. And all of that led to this, that the Bible would become supreme as the authority again in the church. Okay? So, yesterday, 1517, way back, October the 31st, 1517, Martin Luther did that, and he started a storm, started a fire, and it spread through all of Europe, and it's why we're here today. The Reformation, 1517. But then there's this guy, Antonio Snyder, right? Everybody loves Antonio. Right? Who in the heck is Antonio Snyder? Antonio Snyder, in about 1859, he published a work. And the work that he published said, based on Genesis 1:9, which says, you know, "And God gathered all the waters together, and then the dry land formed." He looked at that because the Bible was his sole authority as a scientist, mind you. And he looked at that and he said, I wonder if at one time the planet used to just have one big continent. And so he was the first guy to postulate Pangea, right? You know, some of you have heard of Pangea, perhaps. I've been accused of being around when it was there. I'm not lying. Amanda Becker. Remember, Rod? Yeah. Yeah, she threw that one on me. At work one day. Anyway, but in 1859, he proposed that this could be the thing, that, you know, that it was all one deal. And 1859 was also happened to be the year that Darwin published some stupid book about the origin of species, and he got all the press. And because nobody's really interested in a creationist point of view about the planet at the time, they all thought, oh, this is really cool, avant-garde, so different, so unusual. And so they all got, you know, he got all the press, and here we are today still arguing for God and creation. You know, and it wasn't until 1962 to 1968, 62 happened to be when I was born, that finally scientists started catching on and going, hey, wait a minute, maybe there was a Pangea and that the continents split at some point and they drifted apart, and it set off the whole thing about plate tectonics and all that jazz. All of it, though, thanks to the Reformation and the Bible being supreme, and informing the mind and wonder, made a scientist wonder, what's the planet always like it is, or was it different? And it was very different, and we're going to see some of that today. So I'm going to tell you, some of my coworkers back in the day used to just get tired of me just talking about the stuff that I thought was a wonderful thing. Sit outside, sit and look out the window, and there's a tree. And I was just like, look at that tree. Come on. I mean, roots and water, it's going to the top of the tree, and there's no motor. You know, where's the pump? Where do they plug the tree in? What's the tree plugged into? What's causing that water to go up, up, up and feed that? And then what makes this tree take carbon dioxide and turn it into oxygen and feed itself and grow? I mean, just go out and look at a tree, guys. I mean, a big old tall. I had a monster tree in my yard growing up as a kid. It was an oak tree. Started from a little acorn, of course, before I was born, mind you, because this oak tree, I mean, the trunk was yay big around, had about a 40-foot span, and it was, and every year it dropped a bazillion acorns in the backyard for me to shoot out the lawnmower as I mowed the grass. It was unstinking believable. But, you know, the trees, they do these amazing things. But, you know, what happens if you strip the leaves from a tree? Dies. Right? So here we are. Sin impacts creation. And what was the promise? You eat of this tree, you will die. And then both of their eyes were opened. They knew they were naked. And what did they do? They stripped a tree of its leaves and made themselves loincloths. How about that? Can you picture the panic as they all of a sudden realized, we are exposed to the creator of the universe. Let's strip some leaves off a tree and we can cover ourselves and hide ourselves from the creator of the universe. I mean, you just got to stop and think about that for a second, because if you read Romans 1, you'll find that Romans 1 tells us that when we live in sin, even our ability to think gets really jacked up. And already right there, straight out of the gate, their ability to think. We're talking Adam, who named the animals, right? Which was not just, you know, it's like he's at the zoo, you know. He went to the zoo and there's no placards. So he's like, well, let's just make some placards. And he named every animal on the planet. I mean, Adam was not stupid. Adam was probably brilliant, as was Eve. And yet Satan deceived them in their brilliance. So here they are, panicked, and sin caused their minds to think a leaf will fix it. So they stripped a tree of the leaves. And I wonder how many leaves and twigs were left on the ground as they pull them off the trees and they're stripping them off and say, we could sew these together. Look, you can make, watch this, you know, it's some great outdoor show. We can make sewing thread out of the this if you peel it apart. And they're sitting there. No, they're in a panic. Creation experienced death at the hands of Adam and Eve as soon as they experienced death themselves. Wow. Every branch they broke away would never bear fruit again. Adam and Eve took the life from the tree in order to hide their death. I mean, you just got to let that sink into your head for a minute. It boggles my mind. Mind you, I like to think about boggly stuff. It affected creation. We know it. We know it's true because if we go on down to verse 17, it says, cursed is the ground because of you, Adam. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it's going to bring forth for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. Adam's sin caused thorns, people, and those annoying little burrs that you step on in the backyard that right into your foot, you know what I'm saying? Or the ones if you just walk through a field and you come home and the bottom of your pants leg are covered in those little bitty things, you can thank Adam for those. Curse him. But those thorns, just think about this for just a second. Those thorns would become a crown on Christ's head as he hung from a tree where he became our sin. I mean, just let this sink in. What's going on in Genesis, we already begin to see redemption down the road. For the creation, Romans 8:20 says, the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. I wonder and look forward to find out what the planet was like pre-sin. I wonder. I think it's going to be amazing. But I don't imagine that if you walked barefoot through the garden, you know, you didn't worry about thorns. You know, you walked barefoot. It was probably, you know, like fresh manicured golf course. You know, nice soft grass, you know. I love to walk barefoot on soft grass, you know. But then you spend a summer without rain, walk barefoot across the yard. Yikes, right? Sin leads to death, people. And Adam's sin led to death on the planet. Even our planet is suffering. But it did worse. It killed us, right? Sin killed us. And I wrote that this morning. I was looking at it again, and it reminded me of the show that I kind of like to watch, This Is Us, you know, it's coming out, Tuesday or whatever. I think it's supposed to be, you know, new episodes or whatever. You know, I've gotten kind of bored with it, you know. So how many seasons can they go? How many times can they show us this guy? But, you know, it started out being a really great show. But if you look at it, it's just our brokenness on display. The whole show is brokenness on display. And they've made it seem like, oh, it's such a sweet show. It's just brokenness on display because Adam's sin killed us. Romans 5. Just as sin came into the world through one man and death through sin, so death spread to all men because all sinned. For if because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man, Adam, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. It's not through fig leaves, that's for sure. Their death was more than physical. Their eyes were open. They knew they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together. Ephesians 2:1, I think, is probably
one of the grimmest verses and then one of the greatest verses. Because when you know your sin, then you know the grace of God, exactly how awesome it was. And you were dead in trespasses and sins in which you once walked according to the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, Satan, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, Satan, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature, we were children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. You see what sin did? It made us by nature children of wrath. We're not naturally good, basically good. You know, people are nice, generally speaking, until they're not, right? I mean, come on. You know, if you believe that mankind is basically good, then you haven't looked at the scripture and you haven't understood the holiness of God and how infinitely offensive sin is and what it did to us, to break us. So instead of becoming like God, they lost connection with him. Prior to sin, there was full intimacy. Intimacy that is so hard to even wrap our head around. You know, I mean, I try to think about what would intimacy with God be like in a completely sinless environment? I mean, where there's nothing, nowhere where you would look or hear or anything, will there be anything that's offensive at all? No thorns. I mean, I try to think, what would that be like? What would that be like? And I'm hoping, I know that we're going to see it because one day there'll be a new heaven and a new earth and God will reign in it and it's going to be totally awesome and there'll be no sin and there'll be no tears and it'll be amazing. So it's going to be awesome, but I really want to know what it's like now. I really do. But I can't, so I think about it. Adam's very nature, guys, was radically corrupted. And we've all inherited a nature that's just as equally corrupted. So what do? We do what Adam and Eve did, and we hide, right? So we hide. Genesis 3:8, and they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. So this is where I start thinking. This is where it gets a little, oh, okay, what? Perhaps the reason they heard the Lord walking in the garden was because he stepped on the sticks that they had ripped off a tree. I wonder, how quickly did the death? Because you take a tree, a leaf, and you pull it off a tree, and it starts withering up pretty quick. You know, and we don't know how long it was here after they sinned, but maybe he walked on their typical path, and he came, but they had been stripping the tree down, and they making themselves some leaves, and then they're hiding, and I wonder if the Lord stepped on the sticks. He wasn't, you know, stealthy, you know. He's just walking along, crunch, 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 and they heard him. I wonder. I don't know. No way I can prove that one, but I'd like to. They immediately started their own religion. Think about this one. Are you ready for this? Yeah. The Church of the Fig Leaf. That's what they did. Fig Leaf Baptist Church, whatever you want to call it. They tried to create their own covering for sin. Wow. Holy camoly, people. Forget about it. I was just like, no way, that can't be right. Okay, I got to go faster, right? Yes, Crystal says, yeah, she does. Okay, so the Fig Leaf Church, yeah, whatever. Yeah, so they try to create their own covering for sin, people, and we do the same, right? We hide, we try to create our own covering because somehow we think we can do that because in our minds, we're not real bright. David knew it. He said, where shall I go from your spirit? Where shall I flee from your presence? But then it gets really interesting. Because if you stop and go, here they came, they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Who is it that comes, which member of the Trinity comes to us in our sin? Had to be Jesus walking in the cool of the garden. at that moment, because Jesus is the one who comes to us in our sin to take care of it. But think about this for just a second. Luke 19:10, what does it say? The Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. And as soon as Adam and Eve sinned, they were lost. And who came seeking them? He said, "Where are you?" he said. He's seeking them. Jesus comes seeking them. No sooner had they sinned, and he was on the scene. While Adam and Eve hid behind a tree in their sin, Jesus appeared and announced the consequence of their sin, that he himself would ultimately bear on a tree to which he was nailed. I mean, you've got to let that sink in for just a second. What was happening in Genesis chapter 3? As Jesus walked in and said, "Where are you?" And then they said, "Well, you gave her to me, and I was deceived." And he pronounced the judgment, the consequence of their sin, knowing, as he said, "Thorns and thistles will the ground bring forth," knowing that he would wear a crown of thorns and be nailed to a tree. I don't know. You got to let that echo into your soul for a bit. But there's three questions got to answer. His first one was, "Where are you?" And we got to be able to answer that. Are we hiding from God? So where are you? That's the question that echoes in our soul. They needed to know. They needed to be able to say it. They needed to be able to tell. And so what did he say? "Well, I heard the sound of you, and I was afraid, because I was naked and I hid myself." Wow. So sin always brings fear, cuts us off from intimacy. He was naked because sin always exposes you. And so he hid himself because sin always brings shame. That's how it goes. Then he said, "What have you done?" Wow. Sometimes we need to be able to admit what it is that we've done. So who told you you were naked? "Have you eaten of the tree which I commanded you not to eat?" We have to confess. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And then he said, "What will you do?" The man said, "The woman you gave me to be with me, she gave me the fruit of the tree and I ate." So what will you do? Are you going to shift blame? I mean, that's what we do. Come on, yeah, shift the blame. Yeah, it's her fault. What? Can you believe that? Think about that for just a second. The only two times the first time we hear Adam talk about his wife, he's like, "Whoa, man, she's amazing, bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh." Next time he talks about her, "Woman, you gave me. She did this." I mean, think about that. How quickly that stupid man shifted. I'm just like, come on, man. But sin does that. It destroys our intimacy. Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What have you done?" And she said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." She didn't shift any blame. She just said, "This is what happened. I got deceived, and I ate." That's what we've got to do. Because if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Adam and Eve determined in their mind that God's wisdom, goodness, and love were deficient. So they decided their understanding and perception of goodness were better. God was not to be trusted. So there's a lot of stuff that I can skip. So let's move into this. Bottom line, we all want to get back to the garden, right? That's what we want. We want to get back to the garden, but it matters a whole lot if we're covered in fig leaves or the righteousness of Christ purchased on the cross. It matters a lot. What are you clothing yourself with? God showed his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And so Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:20-21, "We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, that in him we might become the righteousness of God. So, I mean, I think daily, guys, I mean, this is, you know, not just a salvation question, but it's a daily discipleship question. What are you hiding behind? Seriously. And is it in line with Scripture or not? Because if you're hiding yourself and trying to make yourself seem like you're okay with anything other than the righteousness of Christ purchased for you on a cross 2,000 years ago, you're just as deceived as Adam and Eve. I don't want to be there. I don't want to do that. Fig leaves, guys. I went looking to find a fig tree this week. Home Depot didn't have any, FYI. So I didn't bring you one. I was going to have a fig tree here. I thought that would be nice. You know, so I could hide behind it. But if you trust anything but the finished work of Christ, you'll just find it withers like a fig leaf. Can you imagine how quickly their covering was useless to them? I mean, a leaf, guys. They sewed a leaf together. And so what did Jesus do? He killed an animal and skinned it and clothed them with that, because without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness. And Jesus did that for us, so that we don't have to walk around covered in our own fig leaves, but covered in the righteousness of Christ. And that, to me, is a beautiful picture from Genesis chapter 3, that a tree that was scarred by Adam and Eve would later scar our Savior. Wow. So, good stuff to think about. Good stuff to walk out and go, makes me just want to sing a little bit. So I expect we should stand and worship.
Thank you for listening to the Hope Rock Church at Lake Travis podcast. We are a church that is passionate about knowing Christ and making Him known in our city, the nation, and the ends of the earth. For more information on who we are, please go to www.hoperockchurch.com or find us on Facebook.